As we listen to the story of the travelers once again on this Epiphany Sunday, I find myself asking more questions than actually discovering answers. It's just that, a mystery that intrigued these travelers from far away when they sighted a brilliant light in the sky. Faith is holding mystery before us, wondering and opening to possibilities beyond our way of seeing and understanding things. The travelers are referred to as magi. Magi are not kings. Instead, they are the best and brightest people who were generally convened to advise the king. Most likely, they are stargazers or astrologers and interpreters of dreams and prophecies. So it is not surprising that these travelers announce that they traveled from far away because they had sighted a star. This is exactly the work they would have been doing. This is exactly the kind of knowledge they would have had. So once they sighted a strange light in the sky, it would have been extremely pertinent to investigate the mystery. What occurred in distant lands, especially in regards to prophecies and kings, could impact their own land. It was their work to know. The mystery of God is always opening before us, beginning with creation itself. God proclaims, "Let there be light," as the greatest act of revelation. See, God longs for intimate relationships with all creation. So God is endlessly seeking ways to reveal God's self. It's why Jesus is called the light of the world. Jesus is God incarnate. It's revelation. It's light. God directs us in so many different ways. For the Magi, she reveals God's glory in this bright light in the sky of which they astutely observe. God touches the very nature of their being, curiosity and mystery. This isn't magic. It's just the opposite. It's revelation. The Magi are disciplined in their studies. They are open to wondering, exploring, and investigating. In the same regard, God is revealing always God's self to us as well. How we experience God is unique to each of us, depending on how we observe and interact with the world. It's our work to discover how we experience God, to discipline ourselves in developing practices that will allow us to connect with God regularly, and then to open ourselves and receive God. In discipleship programs, we emphasize spiritual practices like prayer, reading scripture, fasting, attending Sunday school, after church today. These are all important aspects of faith formation. At the same time, the pathways to God are as infinite as the stars in the sky. The seeking is what gives God the greatest joy. Let me give you an example. One time I was talking with a friend about how she experiences God. She was so frustrated by the traditional ways, you know, reading the Bible, praying. Those things just didn't connect with her. So we explored when in her daily life she experienced the most peace, creativity, and joy. She was surprised to discover that it was when she was cooking, especially as she prepared breakfast for her family. Her entire demeanor changed when she spoke about the early morning feast. This became for my friend a time when she invited God into her joy, and she opened herself up to listening to God and receiving the peace and direction she needed for the rest of the day. The key was integrating God into a daily and yet disciplined part of her life. I wonder in what ways you seek God. The Magi exemplify how their very being is both a reception of God's grace and wisdom and an expression of awe and gratitude for God. We have to acknowledge that the Magi respond in great faith, traveling far despite uncertainty. See, it isn't enough to just see the star, to believe a child of the king of the Jews had been born. Like the shepherds, they had to go worship and offer an outpouring of gratitude for the glory of God revealed in the child. This is what people do when they stand in the presence of Jesus, from the shepherds to the prophets at the temple, to these Gentile travelers. On bended knee, they proclaim God's glory in the tiny hands and feet destined to lead a people in the way of God's justice and peace. A faithful response to God is compelling and joyful. It's like seeing a beautiful flower and bending to smell its sweet scent. It's like walking along the shoreline and wading in the foamy edges of the water. It's like climbing to the clearing in the forest to catch a glimpse of the sunrise. It's like riding a bike along winding roads in the countryside just to hear the crackle of the cornfields or the wind that whispers across the hayfields. You do it again and again for just a moment of sharing in such beauty and awe, and you're very deep. You feel so grateful. From star to child, the travelers walk in mystery and awe. They do so intentionally seeking the holy mystery. And encounter Christ, they did. These Gentile travelers enter the Hebrew nation and worship the child king. This is not just alarming to King Herod, it is also a betrayal of their own kings. In whatever way we seek God, we must do so with the intent and expectation of encountering Christ. I wonder how you respond to God's mystery and awe and grace. When it was time to leave, the travelers left by another road. They chose a new way, one which did not include earthly kings and power. In fact, they couldn't go back. See, that's the way it is when you encounter Christ. There's no going back to the way you used to live. I know a little bit about maps and new roads. In June 2016, 6 months after my first visit to Haiti, I had a dream. It was a map of Haiti. Haiti is shaped like the hand, all right, just like this. If you know anything about me, I know nothing about geography and have absolutely no sense of direction whatsoever. The fact that I even was dreaming about a map of Haiti is a rarity, very unusual. But on the map, I started in Port-au-Prince, which would have been about here, and my thumb, right here. And that's the capital of Haiti, and that's the central location of where I had visited. I was in Gojan and Delmas, which is all located in Port-au-Prince. But on the map, it moved. I actually moved up north, right, to a place about in the center point, and it stopped literally where these three lines intersected. It was so clear. It was absolutely vivid, unequivocal. Like, there is where it was supposed to be, these three lines. And so when I woke up, I immediately went to a map of Haiti and researched it, and sure enough, in that exact location on a map in Haiti, three rivers intersected. And if you know about anything about maps, rivers are designated by lines, right? Well, these three rivers intersected here in a place called Hench. I'd never been there, and I'd never heard of it. But it was very clear about moving from Port-au-Prince to Hench. I just didn't know why. So all of you know Yaya. And, of course, he's from Haiti. And I had only met him about a month prior to actually receiving this dream of a map. And I called him. And as crazy as it was, he listened carefully to my dream of a map. And he thought with me. And we talked. And then suddenly he said to me, "Tammy, you know Village Mosaic." And I did know that. See, when I was there, I had visited the homeless community in a place called Titayen, where they lived under tarps. This is near Port-au-Prince. He explained to me that their leader, Mona Augustin, had purchased land where they could finally build a village. They would no longer be squatters. Unfortunately, they did not have the resources to move there or to build homes. Well, this land was in Hench. The map had moved from Titayen to Hench. And on this new road, I travel alongside a homeless community as they build their homes one house at a time. So I was called to help this community move from Titayan to Hench. And it's here that I discovered the Christ in me. So while we don't always see stars, we don't always dream maps, I believe that we are all touched in various ways by God and called to respond. It may be a friendship with someone who is lonely or struggling, maybe delivering a meal to someone ill and staying longer than expected. It may be funding a hospital or an orphanage in places like India. It may be advocating for safe places where the elderly can socialize, where they can gather to play games or hang out and talk to one another. It may be protesting against practices that perpetuate unfair distribution of funding to schools. It may be taking in the stray cat. It's when you get the nudges, when someone or something comes into your heart and you just can't let it go, and you respond. You pause for a moment in your life and you take a different road, an unexpected turn, or follow the odd star in the sky. I wonder what other roads you have taken in response to God's presence in your life. We don't know the end of the story for these travelers, where they went or what they did. That's the mystery. The holy and sacred work of God in our own lives. We don't know our ending. In fact, we don't necessarily even know our next road, especially if we remain faithful to the Christ that leads us home by another road. Praise be to God that we all respond, that we all lift up in praise the God that gives us life, that gives us hope, and that transforms our world. Praise be to God. Join me now in singing our hymn, Sing We Now of Christmas.